This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Landry Locker here, 41 Acres, episode 18, and we are 100 days, yes, 100 days away from the biggest game at the University of Texas in over a decade. The biggest game since the Longhorns lost to Alabama and Colt McCoy got hurt at the Rose Bowl. LSU coming to DKR. If the Longhorns win that game, they're going to be in the driver's seat for a national championship. You can still lose one game. I cannot wait. It's going to be exciting. I'm either going to be in Vegas or I'm going to be at the game itself. We recorded a podcast, myself and Derek Foreman, also known as Day-Day, earlier this weekend, Memorial Weekend. And since we've recorded that podcast, obviously there's been some big news about Brew McCoy and whether he's going to go back to USC or whether he's going to come back to Texas. So before I play this podcast for you, I just wanted to give you a quick take on that. My take is let the kid do whatever the hell he wants. If the kid's homesick and he wants to go back to his home state and go to USC, let him go back to USC. People need to leave him alone. And I'm seeing a lot of people on message boards. I'm seeing a lot of people on social media say, well, this kid's wishy-washy. He needs to make his own decision. He's afraid to compete. So on and so forth. The bottom line is this. The kid's 17 years old when he made this decision. He didn't think that Cliff Kingsbury was going to change his mind and go to the NFL last second. He didn't know that. And quite frankly, if you go back to when you were 17 years old, you were probably a little bit wishy-washy too. Just put yourself in the kid's shoes. The kid comes to Austin the second semester of his senior year of high school. All his friends are graduating. They're probably going to prom. He's seeing all this stuff, and he's probably getting a little bit homesick. He didn't plan on this happening. So if the kid wants to go to USC and he wants to play football at USC, just let the kid go. Receivers are a dime a dozen in this state. As far as the notion that Brew McCoy is afraid to compete, this guy's going to be a stud wherever the heck he's at. He's going to be a damn good player. There's a reason that people were excited about him when he transferred to Texas. There's a reason that people were upset when he went away from USC. But this is why I don't get into the recruiting. Myself and Day-Day don't get into that, because these are 17-year-old kids making their decisions, and I think we just need to let him have his space. If the young man wants to go to USC, I understand how homesick he was. I think a lot of people go away to college, a lot of young men and women, and they get homesick. This kid maybe got a little bit homesick. Maybe he just feels like it's a better situation for him. But regardless, I wish the kid the best. I wish he were on the 40 acres. I wish he were going to be on the field 100 days from now when they play LSU. Unfortunately, it looks like he might not be, and I got to tip my cap to the kid and say, do whatever makes you happy, and I wish him nothing but the very best. But I'm very excited about this season. I'm very excited about this game 100 days from now. Yes, I'm overlooking the opener, but that just is what it is. But me and Day-Day getting you ready for next season, getting you ready for the LSU game. We talked about everything from the Longhorns that were drafted, including a guy that shouldn't have been slept on, to replacing Lil Jordan Humphrey, to the reason for optimism about this offense and the concerns about the guys you have to replace. We hope you join it. We hope you enjoy it. We started out talking about my man, Derek Foreman. Dude rolled up in a slingshot. Dude had a fat watch. Dude looking fresh as ever. And oh, by the way, we'll get to this a little bit later. My dude's Facebook official. Here's Landry Locker, Derek Foreman, getting you ready for the biggest game of Texas Longhorn football in over a decade. Hope you enjoy. And by the way, subscribe on iTunes and spread the word. Hook 'em.
Man, man, it's grueling, man. It's grueling without football, man. Like I tell everyone, man, football is the only thing that can leave me for 6 months, man, and I'll still love it the same when it comes back.
Okay.
Man, it's just one of those things, man. But I'm excited. 100 days away, man. 100 days seems like nothing, man, the way that this year's been moving already, man. It's like, dude, we're already, you know, heading into June, man. So, I mean, it'll be here before you know it.
It's going to be here, and there's going to be a lot of questions. I mean, I think this is the, you know, a lot of times the University of Texas will get expectations heading into a season, and it'll be like, okay, like so-and-so picked them to
make the college football playoff, and you kind of roll your eyes a little bit. But I think this is a year, especially if they are able to win this game in 100 days against LSU. This is a year where I think even, you know, the most, I don't want to say cynical, but the most skeptical of all skeptics in regards to the University of Texas can at least see a path in which UT does get into the college football playoff, wins the Big 12 championship, and takes that next step that we've been waiting for them to get. And they are coming off their first 10-win season since 2009. You got a quarterback. Oklahoma's having to replace their quarterback once again. I know they got Jalen Hurts, but they're having to replace four offensive linemen. It just seems like the path is there for Texas. And I think if you do win this LSU game, I think you can even lose another game because we've seen that. But if you win this LSU game, I think you're basically in the driver's seat to not win a national championship, but to at least get to the college football playoff. I think it's realistic expectations at this point.
Well, you know, shout out to Tom Herman and the staff, man. I think those guys have
done. Say that one more time.
Shout out to Tom Herman and the staff, man. I think those guys have done an excellent job in recruiting, man. No, second year, top five recruiting class. I'm turning around on Tom Herman, man, and what he's doing with this program. Like I've stated before, man, in all fairness, I'm always gonna, you know, be objective and you know, give props where props is due, Landry. The LSU win, for them to come in and to possibly win that would be amazing, man. Just checking out the spring game, man. And I know I never taken, even when my sons were on the 40 acres, I never took much stock in the spring game, man, because it's just, it's real.
You don't know what they're trying to work
on. Exactly.
The offense is that they're not really opening up the offense.
But I will say this. I will say what I did like about the spring game. And I'm not, crapping on Sammy. The wind was blowing out there. It was just kind of a good day, but kind of Casey Thompson looked really good, man. I thought running the ball and everything, and even some throws that he made, man. I think they're replacing eight guys, on the defensive side of the ball, man. So that's going to be huge too, man, just to see, how these young cats, man, come up. And it's going to be a big target on Herman because, I know that you were waiting for this to happen, but the Charlie Strong era is completely over, man.
It's over.
Those guys are gone.
Let me say this.
He coached those guys up, but he did it with Charlie's guys. So now this is the first recruiting year that is going to be the majority of his guys on this field, man. So, we'll see what happens.
And I'm very excited to see that. You just mentioned Thompson, and this is the thing about Casey Thompson that I think maybe Tom Herman and his staff need to take a look at. And I really honestly think Lil Jordan Humphrey could have been the guy to do this had he come back. We'll get into that mistake a little bit later. But I think that because Sam is Sam, and just like how Tim Tebow took a pounding at Florida, and their styles are similar in that it's very physical, you're running, you're taking a lot of hits. We saw Sam hurt his shoulder last year. We saw Tebow have shoulder issues at Florida. I do think that if Casey Thompson is able to run the rock out of that Wildcat or something like that to spell Sam every once in a while. I know when it's nitty gritty, you're going to have Sam out there taking a pounding because it just comes with the territory. But I do think if they can find a role for Casey Thompson or someone else to run the Wildcat to at least decrease the amount of punishment Sam takes, I think it's going to be critical. And to another point, I don't want to predict injuries because that's just not, really what I want to do. But there's a high, I don't want to say probability, but there's a high possibility that at some point you're going to need the backup quarterback. And Casey Thompson at least looked, especially with his feet. He didn't throw the ball very well, but nobody did. But he at least looked like he can be a serviceable backup on this team.
Yeah, I to your point, again, it's definitely going to be a time that I feel like we're going to need him to come in and step in to spell Ellinger, especially, in this Tom Herman offense, man. We see the pounding that Sam takes, man. I mean, he's a big guy, mobile guy, but, he takes a pounding, man. And, Tom Herman likes to run the quarterback, man, for whatever reason, bro. So,
well, it's worked.
It's worked. I think that it's just going to be a lot of guys on this team that's really going to have to grow up. I'm looking at them possibly maybe struggling a little bit early, man. I'm not saying, you know, losing games, but I think it's going to it's going to be
if
some
you struggle against LSU, you're probably going to take that L. I mean, that's just the bottom line. But you, I know your son was a running back at the 40 acres. I almost said 41 just because the podcast got me, right. Our own podcast names got me doing that. But, you know, if Keontae Ingram can be one of those guys that can maybe ease the load for Sam and he can establish himself as a good back. I like the way he looked physically.
Yeah.
He looks like he's a little bit bigger. He's another guy. And you mentioned the recruiting class, and I think this is the Tom Herman recruiting class. I think this is the best receiving recruiting class they've ever had at the University of Texas. And ever. I'm including the Roy Williams, BJ Johnson, wow. Sloan Thomas. I think this is the best.
I think that you're being, I mean, like I said before, on paper maybe so, man, but I think that you're, you know, kind of putting the you know, carriage before the horse, man. Yeah. I think that you know, those guys, the receiving core that you were alluded to, you know, BJ Johnson, Roy Williams, those guys are proven, man.
Graham Perry,
these guys here,
Odessa,
I mean, yeah,
Permian,
look good on
all
paper,
those,
but you know, coming
but,
in,
but
lock,
I mean,
man, you know, we don't give a damn about stars. I mean, stars.
No, we don't. We don't
degree,
get into the recruiting.
Give,
yeah, I get you.
Because
so maybe I am. But
they have to show us on the field. Man. That's all I'm saying. Let's not give them that kind of hype right now.
I think
we did the same with Malik Jefferson, man.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into him. Brew McCoy is a guy who I think could eventually, if once he's able to rock, he could be the best receiver on this squad. I like Jake Smith. I think he's a guy that's going to do everything. I'm kind of considering Jordan Whittington a receiver, but it looks like he's going to be more of a running back. Right, and of all the things in the spring game that we saw, I think Whittington showed us, because I thought that, you know, offensively there's a lot of holes to fill. But I really do think that one of the most unsung heroes of the team last year, I think you can replace Lil Jordan Humphrey. I think Duvernay can step up and call Johnson. I think you can replace
Ooh.
That. I do. I think that you can plug in guys. I think Duvernay, Colin Johnson coming back, and all these other young kids. I think you can replace Lil Jordan, and along with the tight end, Cade Brewer is going to be back. They haven't had a tight end for a while. But my point is this: I think that Trey Watson was one of the most unsung pieces of that team last year,
and it seemed like
he was making plays. And I think from what I saw in that spring game, I think Whittington can do what Watson did and do maybe even a little bit more, because he's more of a natural receiver. There was one play where they missed him for a touchdown by an inch. He was running the routes. I think Whittington is a guy that is going to add a whole new element to this offense. And when I talk about that, the recruiting class and the receivers, I'm putting Whittington in there as a receiver, even though he might be a running back. But I think he's going to be great.
I think they're going to plug him in at a running back. But, I mean, you know the way the game is, man. You know, going wide, man, and, you know, they like to throw the ball all over the field. So even if they haven't plugged in the running back, they're going to be able to spread him out and be able to do some things, you know, with him, or wheel routes and then different things like that, where his receiving abilities will, you know, jump out of the screen, man, and be able to show on the field. I mean, like I said before, you know, the thing that concerns me is that you lost a lot. You really have. And you know, your point saying, well, you know, I think that Lil Jordan Humphrey can be replaced
easily.
Now let me
I really
you,
do.
Wow.
Let me ask you
this. You say that he can be replaced. Are you saying by one person or by a string of receivers to be able to do different things?
I think that the emergence of the running back position with the 1-2 punch of Ingram and Whittington coming out of the backfield can help. I think that Colin Johnson staying and taking his play to the next level will help. I think Duvernay, we're both very high on Duvernay. I think that will help. I think you got a couple redshirt freshmen that we saw kind of stick out in the spring game as well. That I think could help Malcolm Epps and Jordan Pouncey. I think Jake Smith, depending on how you use him, will help. And I do think the tight end, you know, Cade Brewer, we saw him make the big catch in the USC game, the 2-point conversion. Him coming back and adding an intermediate passing option for Sam will help. I just think there's so many weapons to where I think you can replace what Lil Jordan Humphrey meant to this offense. Now, am I saying that Lil Jordan Humphrey's a bum? No. I mean, we were both talking about, we were the biggest Lil Jordan Humphrey fans last season, but I'm just saying that offensively, I'm not too concerned about that. And you talk about the biggest holes to fill, you know, the offensive line, it's just amazing what they've done as well in that regard, because you're getting guys coming back on the offensive line that are better, and then this transfer thing, it's almost like Texas is getting free agents now, because you bring in a first team all ACC selection in Parker Braun to play guard right away, and then you're getting other JUCO guys to fill in there along with guys getting better. I'm not worried about the offensive line either. I think this is going to be the best Texas offense that we've seen since 2009, when Colt McCoy took him to the national championship. I don't even think it's going to be close. And I also, this is the other thing I left out, and this is the most important thing. We know this. It's all about the quarterback. Sam Ehlinger, another year in the offense, now an upperclassman. I love Lil Jordan, but I think he's going to be replaced pretty easy. I think this offense is going to be even better. I really do.
Well, I can agree with you to the points that you made as far as the offense. The offense was never my concern. I believe that we have
on the other side. We going on the other side.
I'm concerned about the other side of defense. I mean, like I said, man, you're losing eight guys defensively, man. Guys who, you know, particularly, you know, had impacts, you know, on the game. But more than anything, man, is the leadership. Again, Landry, you're bringing in a lot of young guys, man. A lot of, you know, red shirt guys that's got to come in this year and step up, and, you know, the expectations of what this team is. And I trust Todd Orlando to do his thing and to coach these guys up. But again, man, you know, hey, 100 days, man, and we're looking at, you know, real live action, man. So, you know, how much information can these guys process? How much can they learn? How much can they grow on the defensive side of the ball? And again, man, you're losing eight guys, man, that were considered leaders on this team, man. So this is a very young defense that's going to have to grow up pretty fast.
And this is the thing about him. This is, I think, the biggest hole you have to fill on defense. Obviously, I think it's Gary Johnson. We've been the head of the Gary Johnson fan club. You got to replace Gary Johnson in the linebacking core. Now, how exactly do you do that? I mean, Joseph Osai, he looks like a guy who's ready to take that next step. They went the JUCO route once again. They got Caleb Johnson, the number two JUCO linebacker. That's how you hope to replace Gary Johnson, along with some other young guys. And then you got the two cornerbacks, Chris Boyd and Devontae Davis. For me, I'm not really concerned about that, because last year at this time, we were praising the secondary guys, the guys coming in, the best secondary class that we've seen at the University of Texas. You had Caden Stearns, you got B.J. Foster, Anthony Cook, you got Overshawn, you got so many cornerbacks that I think they can take that next step. To be honest with you, I'm fine with Chris Boyd being gone and Devontae Davis. They gave everything they had, but it's not like you're replacing like a Quentin Jammer or something.
Speaking of Quentin Jammer, man, I like the intensity, man, that I saw in the spring game from Jalen Green, man. I like that kid, man. Number three, man. He made some big plays in the game, man. Was able to make some big hits, man. It seemed like he was kind of ball hawking out there, man. You mentioned Quentin Jammer, you know, you mentioned him, and I don't like to thrust these guys into those Longhorn legend names right now. The game still have to be played, man, but I just like the intensity, man, that he brought to the table in the spring game.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be interesting to see the defense, but this is another thing. It's your competition. I mean, you know, Oklahoma loses Kyler Murray. Jalen Hurts has never been known for his arm, so we'll see. We'll see how good he looks. They also lost four offensive linemen. They lost Hollywood Brown. He's gone. Like, that's it's not like you're facing the same Oklahoma offense you did. No, by the way, you went 1-1 against him and probably could have beat him twice. Oklahoma State, you saw them torch. That was with a different quarterback. You saw West Virginia, Will Grier, he's gone. Dana Holgerson's gone. It just seems like this is just set up to where you have a veteran quarterback, you have all this stuff going. And while you do have some names to replace on defense, you have talent, you're recruiting at a high level, and the offenses you're facing just aren't as prolific. So I think that if we want to look at the glass half full instead of that glass half empty like you've been known to do, I think that's the one thing I'm hanging my hat on. But I think this LSU game is going to be something that is going to be extremely special. Well, I'm either going to the game or I'm going to Las Vegas.
Well, let me ask you this, man. Let me ask you this. Just hypothetically speaking, you know me, I'm going to throw a caveat out there, man. If Texas, if they win – If they don't win the Big 12 championship this year, is it a disappointing
season? Yes. 100%, man. Like, I can say that with 100% certainty. Last year, when we were previewing the season, I said I wanted 10 wins and I wanted a big bowl win. What happened? 10 wins, big bowl win. That was my expectations. Based on expectations right now, based on where they're at, now something could happen, something monumental to where you change that. But yeah, as we sit right now, Texas has to win the Big 12 this year. This is the year where you win the Big 12. This is the year where you take that next step. This is the year where you've been recruiting. You got everything going. You found your quarterback. You got all these faces. Yes, Texas should expect to win the Big 12 this season. If Lincoln Riley with a new quarterback, and this isn't Kyler Murray. This isn't, you know, this is a guy who got benched at Alabama. He's got talent. I'm not questioning that, but he's not the same as what Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray are. He's probably a little bit better runner, but he's nowhere near them in passing. If Lincoln Riley is able to go out there and win a Big 12 title this year, I would compare it to when Bob Stoops won it without Rhett Bomar and he had to move Paul Thompson back from receiver to quarterback to win it. I would think it would be that good of a coaching job. Right now, Tom Herman and Lincoln Riley, Tom's 1-2 against him, and there's been some pretty good battles there, and they've gone back and forth, and Lincoln's had more talent. But this is the year where if Tom Herman wants to be mentioned in the same sentence as Lincoln Riley, he has to win the conference championship. And it might even include beating Oklahoma twice, which would be a damn good season. But yes, to answer your question, yes, if Texas doesn't win the Big 12 championship this year, it's a disappointment. Period. Like that's just what it is. That's just where we're at. That's where the situation is. I mean, who else can you even envision winning this besides Oklahoma? We just laid out everything with Oklahoma. Who else could you even envision winning it? Nobody.
No one.
I mean, just go through the whole conference. West Virginia, first year head coach. Texas Tech, first year head coach. Kansas State, first year head coach. Kansas, trash. First year head coach too as well. You have a bunch of first year head coaches.
TCU,
you have a bunch
Gary
of teams.
Patterson,
Gary Patterson,
no.
First year quarterback.
Yeah.
Having to replace the quarterback coming around. We know Gary Patterson's good, but it's laid out for you. You got a bunch of inexperienced coaches in this conference, at least. The quarterbacks are inexperienced. You have that advantage. There's no excuse not to go out there and win a Big 12 championship. There's zero. I can see a scenario where you don't make the playoff, but you have to. Texas has to do it, and I can't wait. And I think it starts in 100 days against LSU. LSU is going to be the game where you get in the driver's seat. Like, you get in the driver's seat. Now, from conference implications, it doesn't matter if you win or lose to LSU, but you get in the driver's seat if you beat LSU, if we're talking about bigger and better things, and we're talking about making it to that Final Four. You beat LSU, you could drop a conference game, and you can still get in there, and then go win the Big 12 championship. You can lose one game if you beat LSU. That's what you got to do.
You know, Sam, you know, when he was on
don't get me started on that, Dan.
At the
Sam
game, man,
that was not
the Sugar Bowl, and he said, "Hey, you know, Longhorn fans, Texas is back."
Even if they do their thing this year, I don't think you can be back. I mean, the excellence that Mack Brown had, the 10 win season.
What else do you expect? The dudes have 10 wins last year. They go and they beat a very good Georgia team in the Sugar Bowl, man. Even though I feel like Georgia probably didn't really want to be there. But the fact of the matter, they go out and they kick Georgia's ass in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, what does these people have to do to get you to say, hey, Texas is back? If they go out there and they beat LSU this year,
long-term.
Are they back?
No.
Are they?
No.
Oh,
I need long term. I need long. I need at least 5 years of success for it. I can't have two straight seasons.
Oh, man, you know, the show's over, man.
I'm just telling you, man. When I used to go to Texas, Oklahoma, when I was going to Texas OU games, man, every year the national title was on the line, basically. A spot in the national title, it seemed like was on the line for like damn near over a half decade. I need that. I need to feel that. But if they do their thing this year, I might say it. But I'm damn sure not saying it after the Georgia game. But I knew, you know, that is what it is. People can sit there and try to say that, you know, Georgia wasn't trying. That's fine. I don't really know. You can't argue with stuff like that. But I thought it was a good win regardless. Undefeated against the SEC under Tom Herman, by the way, 2-0. And hopefully, 100 days from now, that continues. And it improves to 3-0. Let's get into some of these drafted guys. You said the show's over. Well, ain't no show over. The Texas got not a very great showing in the draft for the guys that left here at Texas. You had Charles Amina, who drafted in the fifth round, Houston Texans right here. A lot of people are pretty excited about him. I don't know what, how exactly he's going to be used here. It seems like he's going to be kind of one of those guys that comes in maybe on passing situations, and it, who knows. And then you had Chris Boyd drafted in the seventh round, which, by the way, not to bash the young man too much, but when people were trying to say this was a second or third round pick, I was about losing my stuff, because I talked to because for research on my show In the Loop 10 to 2 Sports Radio 610, I would like talk to guys who watch tape. I would talk to scouts. I would like ask all of them, watch that tape, and said, what the hell am I missing here? And I said, you're not missing a damn thing. He's not, his tape is trash. I actually think that Chris Boyd was the opposite of Lil Jordan Humphrey in that his combine was amazing. Lil Jordan had the worst combine that we've maybe ever seen for a receiver, but his tape was trash. And I think Lil J probably had some pretty decent tape.
Hey, very, very good tape. And his combine was trash, man. But, you know,
he ran the slowest time for any receiver, 4.79. And you know what's even worse about the Lil Jordan Humphrey thing is he lost weight to do that. Like, he lost weight to get faster, and I think he got down to 211 or something. He ran a 4.79, Day-Day.
Well, we had already, you know, said, man.
He shouldn't have gone.
Shout out.
And we never, your son was in the same situation where he left the junior year. We're never gonna selfishly say don't stay. But it didn't make sense for him to go. He wasn't ready.
Well, we, you know, like I said, this is not hindsight being 2020, man. You and I, you know, we said this, you know, early in the season last year, man. Like, he would be, you know, really crazy, man, to leave, you know, after this year, man. You stay another year, you know, in this system, man, and you really, really becomes the man, even more so than Colin Johnson, man. And you have an opportunity, man, for your draft stock to really go up, you know. The Saints are giving him a look, man. So he's on a roster with the Saints.
It's a good situation for him,
and
man.
I think it's a good situation with him. You know, the way
it's as good as that, it can be.
You know, they'll use him. You know, Sean Payton will use him. You know, if he makes
on the practice
the team
squad,
and everything
maybe
like that. You know, but you know, give him a year to develop, and then we'll see what happened. And I was tripping on the Charles Minnehue thing too, man. People are excited here in Houston. Obviously, you know, my son Deontay reached out to him. Obviously, being, you know, former Longhorns and him being with the Texans now, you know. But I'm with you, Locke, man. I mean, just on some real stuff, man. Like, I didn't see what the Texans saw in the
fifth.
I mean,
he was a fifth round pick. I think he was drafted perfect.
Him in
a
fifth, really? You really? Fifth round? I don't.
I mean, you can draft projects. I think you can draft projects in the fifth round. I think he. Look, Charles, at times, this is what they were asking me about Charles, because obviously I watched every snap of his career. Charles at times looks like a guy who should be a day one draft pick, day one, day two. But then at other times it looks like a guy that doesn't even belong on the field. He's very inconsistent.
Inconsistency right then. I mean,
but he also struggled against zone reads, and he's not going to see as much of that here. A lot of times he was getting lost on like zone reads and whatnot.
Wait, I'll give you that. I was surprised at you that that, and, you know, shout out to Minnehue, man. Shout out to all these guys that wind up on NFL teams, man. I really wish them luck, you know, moving forward in their careers. How surprised were you that the Giants took a shot on Brickin Hager, man?
They're just inviting him to be a camp body. Yeah, and what did I tell you about mentioning his name, man? We were putting that to rest last year.
Right, I'm sorry, come man. On, we ain't going to mention Agent 44
like
anymore.
Why you got to do me? Yeah, don't do that to me. But
go ahead.
But I hope, you know, you're mentioning Charles, and we'll get back into these draft guys, but he did have his best year, his senior year, so I kind of hope that, you know, Malcolm Roach is a guy that this year can do the exact same thing as Amina who. And I think Roach is a little bit more versatile as far as like.
Oh, what, are we using the versatile?
No,
dude.
I don't like versatile when talking about offensive linemen playing multiple positions, but okay. Football players should be versatile, especially when they line up at different places each time.
I got
that's good.
I got
now, telling me that a guy who sucks at his prime position is versatile, but he can play other things. That's what my trigger word is.
Titus Howard.
I like Titus
Howard.
I think Titus Howard is going to be all right. I like that young man. I just don't want to hear about him being able to play five positions. That's, man, I'll save that for 10 to 2. Yeah, I don't even know why you're trying to draw me off sides. But I think Roach can make a lot of plays. I think Roach is a guy that, if he has his best senior year, I think it's going to be more of a dynamic impact than the one that Aminahou had.
I can agree with that. I mean, Roach, man, you know, even, you know, when he came on campus, man, you know, he made plays, man, even as a young guy on campus, man. I thought he was
always shown flashes. He can either disappear. He's a guy who either disappears or he really sticks out. It's a little bit like Charles to a certain point.
No, but I think that he has to step up. He has to be a leader. As a matter of fact, you know, Amar Brooks, you know, said the same thing, you know, during the spring game, that Malcolm Roach is a guy that, you know, is going to have to come in, man. He's going to have to be that kind of impact player. He's going to have to, you know, hit the field with that mean spirit that we know he can do, but it has to be more consistent. You know, he's done it in flashes, but, again, has to be more consistent on the field.
100 days, man. 100 days to LSU. Yeah, I'm looking past opening day. It's okay. I mean, I can do that this year. We're not playing Maryland this year, so I can do that. Let's get into some of these other guys that got undrafted but got invited to camps. Andrew Beck for the Patriots. We'll see what he does. I mean, he's kind of one of those blockers. Who knows? Not really a hot take on that. Gary Johnson, undrafted. A little bit surprising because I think Gary Johnson's a guy that can play special teams and can play some linebacker and runs better than almost any linebacker you have. Gary Johnson's going to be in the NFL. I don't know. He's with the Chiefs right now, which is a good situation for him. But Gary Johnson, I'm 100% certain that Gary Johnson will make a living playing professional football. I'm 100% certain with that. And I was surprised he didn't get drafted, honestly.
You know what?
They put too much stock in his size. He never looked. I'll tell you this. I watched Gary Johnson every time, and there were times where he would have some mental mistakes and stuff. But I never watched Gary Johnson and felt like he was too small. I never watched that. And that dude, as far as running, he is the best running linebacker at the University of Texas since Derek Johnson. The way that he covers ground, he is the best. And I don't. Obviously, there's been some down periods, but he's the best running linebacker since DJ.
And you
congrats on the retirement too, DJ.
You don't feel like there's a
and Jamal Charles,
huh?
I mean, you saw him run. You saw him chase down Lamb in the Big 12 championship. You saw his combine. You saw him run at the combine. I mean, the dude can run. I mean, he can run. I'm not sitting here saying he's like the best line. I'm just saying, like, as far as just running. And what you want from linebackers, especially if they're going to be at the back end of the roster on special teams, Gary Johnson can do that.
I understand the whole thing, you know, with the NFL teams or whatever, but I really wish, you know, even in recruiting, man, in the college game, man, I really wish that these coaches would start kind of looking at heart opposed to just
– How do you look to heart?
I mean, what I'm saying is just
– What do you want, Rudy? Want scout team or something?
Watching the film, again, to your point, Gary Johnson – man, every game that we watched this kid this year, man, he jumped.
We said this 100 times. We said that if they had 11 Gary Johnsons, I said that there's a lot of guys on the defense last year that don't belong starting on a defense that has high hopes, like Big 12 championship type hopes. These are not UT guys. These are not the golden age of the Mac Brown era guys, like Brecken Hager. Something got PJ Locke. These aren't guys that they might be able to play, but these aren't guys that start on what's supposed to be a blue blood marquee program. It just doesn't happen. Like ever so often they might, but that doesn't happen. Gary Johnson's what a University of Texas linebacker is supposed to look like and supposed to look like on the field whenever you have Big 12 championship hopes and whenever you have hopes even a little bit higher. That's what they're supposed to look like is Gary Johnson.
Well, because he's so fast. I mean, even in the NFL, man, if he happens to, you know, make an NFL team, and I'm with you, man, I think that someone will pick him up.
Chiefs got him right now, but it's just a matter of, you know, if the Chiefs get rid of him, someone's going to pick up Gary Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, they have to, because, I mean, you can use him. I believe that you can use him in – you know, all our blitz situations, you can use him in you know, if you just send a back of blitz, because he's that quick, man. He's that shifty. He's able to, you know, we've seen him at Texas, man, was able to get to the quarterback, able to get in the backfield and be able to disrupt things, man. You know, I think that his size to a degree could be an advantage, you know, using him the right way in the right scheme.
It will, yeah. And we both agree that he's going to be there. Other guys, little Jordan Humphrey with the Saints, we both agree that's a good situation for him. He probably Should have come back, but he didn't. Calvin Anderson, he's already been on a couple teams. Don't know if he's an NFL left tackle or not. He held it down last year, though, and I think he was one of the key offseason pickups that they got when he transferred from Rice. And then you have P.J. Locke trying to make a team. Good luck with that. No disrespect, just best of luck to you, because I never watched P.J. Locke and felt like, you know, I felt like a lot of times he did a good job. I mean, he was a D1 player, but he probably was ideally, when you're recruiting at the level Tom Herman is, P.J. Locke's probably not going to be one of your key defensive pieces like he was, but he's trying to make a squad. And speaking of Herman, before we dip out of here, Day-Day, Tom Herman gets a 2-year extension. No surprise there. I'm pretty sure that the more he wins, he's going to be getting extension after extension after extension after extension. And if he does what a lot of people hope that Texas will do, he's going to be getting paid like Dabo Swinney just got, and he's going to be getting all kinds of bread. They're not going to hesitate to reward success for University of Texas football.
Well, the you know, it's almost like the saying, you know, you don't want to be the man behind the man. You want to be the man behind the man behind the man.
Bro, how many sayings you got now? So, what's going on with you? Say that again? I've never heard that one. Where'd you hear this from?
You don't want to be the man behind the man. You want to be the man behind the man behind the man.
Oh, so after Mac.
Right, after Mac. You know, you have legendary Mac Brown, you know, national championship, you know, several 10-win season, bowl games, appearances, you know, all these great teams that Mac had up under him. And then you have Charlie, unfortunately. You know, and of course, you know, even on the tail end of Mac, the teams were looking down. But Charlie comes in, you know, you have the attrition and everything like that. And, you know, Charlie just, you know, plain and simple, didn't get it done. You lose to Kansas, man, you got to go. And now Herman comes in, you know, not a very good first season at all. Bounces back his second year or whatever and has an amazing season, plays for a Big 12 championship, man. Now he's going into his third year. So that's what I mean by because he's bringing Texas back, you know.
Quit, man.
Or have an opportunity
Quit,
to bring
man.
Texas
Damn,
back
dude.
To relevance
Damn,
or
bro.
Whatever. I agree with you, man. I think that the extension was warranted to him, and I think if he continues to have success, especially with the Big 12 being down, new coaches, new quarterbacks, him having, you know, the pedigree that he has on the 40 acres, man, I believe
that
he will be able to get paid, man.
Bling.
But damn, Dabo, no, bro. I mean, bro, I still don't think you pay him Dabo Swinney. I mean, that would, do you see what Dabo does, bro?
I mean, if
this dude is awesome, bro.
But the thing
Dabo
is
awesome.
if Herman's able to win, Texas has more money than Clemson. They're gonna throw that bread at him. Now, Dabo's got a body of work, but they're gonna throw that bread at him, man. It's just gonna be interesting to see whether or not they do that. And again, you want to get paid, the best way to do it, beat LSU in 100 days. I wanted to touch on some stuff that's happened since the end of the season. Vince Young has been let go of his job. Apparently, he wasn't keeping in touch, which you want to talk about entitlement. I mean, that's got to be – I love you, Vince, man, but, I mean, you don't even have to talk to your boss or anything. Like, that's a weird world to live in when you're getting paid whatever Vince was getting paid, and you're just not even gonna keep in touch with him after getting charged with the second D-dub. Like, come on, man.
Hey, Magic didn't. He talked to his boss.
What's he doing now?
Magic Johnson.
That's probably a little bit different, too, though.
Multi-million dollar businesses.
Yeah, Vince don't have those.
Right.
Vince don't have those. Vince has got a steakhouse, and it's a good steakhouse and stuff, but Vince, Magic Johnson can still go out there and get that bread, and I think he's pretty set.
Yeah, no joke.
I mean, he had the fake HIV virus, too. Right now, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I said the same thing. I ain't going to lie to you. I said the same thing, bro. But anyway, getting back to that, you know, I agree with you, man. You know, it was a sense of entitlement, man. I mean, you actually got paid at the University of Texas just to be Vince Young. Just to be Vince Young off of your name, you were able to make $100,000 a year, bro. And I mean, and the first DWI, you get smack. And you know,
we don't know if he's been charged yet, but damn.
We love Vince, man.
I love Vince more than anything, dude.
He's been on the show, man, last year heading up to the UCLA game. I'm sorry, the USC game. And, you know, we love Vince, man, and we really wish him the best, man. But, yeah, man, you after getting a slap on the wrist, for just not even you not keeping in communication with your boss, but I mean, even you being as knuckleheaded as to do that.
Put yourself in that situation. Put yourself in the situation. We don't know. Yeah, right. For sure. Something that else happened. You you mentioned national championship. You mentioned guys that have been on the show. My favorite Longhorn of all time, Brian Robinson, officially announced his retirement. Congratulations to Brian Robinson. That's good. Hopefully he enjoys it. I know he was kind of, I don't want to say he was struggling, but it was weird not having football. He's got the fishing and everything. So we want to congratulate Brian Robinson for his retirement for sure. Shout out to number 39, one of my favorites to ever do it. Also, man, and this is probably the biggest news of all, bro. My man went Facebook official. My man, Derek Foreman, Facebook official, man, on the thing. Oh, man, Derek, I don't know what's going on. You got some cake on your nose, but Derek Foreman going Facebook official, man. What's going on? I thought you were the Mac daddy, dude. I thought you were the Mac. What's going on, man? I'm asking you.
You know what, man? You know, here it is, man. You know, I'm 45 years old, man. Still a very handsome 45, man. People don't even believe that. Like, I could really pass for maybe
pass for 42. 42,
you know? But such a hater, bro. but I mean, no, we're kind of moving in, my lady friend and I, we're kind of moving in a direction, man. We're kind of seeing how things, you know, go. We've been knowing each other for a while, and so, you know, now we're actually getting kind of into the relationship.
Okay. Well, Facebook official is a big step, bro. That ain't tiptoeing. Like, you're talking tiptoeing. Facebook official is a big step.
But you know, if you follow me,
it might be bigger than engagement.
But you know, if you follow me on Facebook, man, you know that I really don't post any of my personal business on social media. Social media,
nah,
is
you just try
that,
to piss people off. You just try to piss off the kids.
You know what? You know. Honestly, man.
Yeah, you're a troll on Facebook. You're a Facebook troll for sure.
Let me tell you something. It was just to the Cowboys. Just, I hate them. But anyway, the thing about it is that was my way of kind of announcing to other females.
Okay, you're telling people not to slide in your
yeah,
DMs.
They know, you know, that was my way of announcing to you know, everybody on Facebook, hey, that
the hotline blinks. Is that what they call it? Hotline blinks.
That I'm taking, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that was a quicker way to do it, opposed to you know, calling each individual young lady who I've maybe dated, you know, on my phone or whatever that may still have interest.
Whatever, man.
I just shot
everybody. Ain't no one interested in you, bro. Come on, man. Now you're just
a hater, bro.
But yeah, it's been fun. Congratulations to you. It's going to be a fun season. We started this last year. We didn't know what the next step was going to be for Tom Herman. They've taken that next step. It's just a matter of, can that next step happen again for the second consecutive year? And that starts 100 days from now when they face LSU. Landry Locker, Derek Foreman, we're going to be with you all season. But again, we don't do the whole recruiting thing. That's just not really our thing. We let the guys who get paid to do that go ahead and handle it. And then as soon as the guys get on campus and we see them actually play, we have it. Subscribe to the 41 Acres podcast on iTunes. Listen to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610 from 10 to 2. Tell your friends, spread it. You won't find a better Longhorn podcast week to week during the season as far as reaction, as far as credible guests. The guest list that we have is second to none when it comes to this kind of stuff. And we are the number one Longhorn podcast out there. So we appreciate you for listening to us. I'm Landry Locker for the cuffing season. Derek Foreman. Let them know.
Hey, man, we appreciate you guys tuning in, man. We're looking forward to a great season this year. As always, from Landry and I, man, we love you guys. And as always, hook 'em.